Coming up, it's another smartwatch, a really tiny camera, an RT tablet that's not from Microsoft, and a whole lot more. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 25% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code BEFOREYOUBUY1213. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. To get our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Before You Buy. It is a category that just will not go away, the smart watch. We've yet to see one that we really, really want to own, but we thought Jason Howell ought to have the chance to try this one. The $200 smartwatch from Sony. Hello, Jason Howell, producer of TNT, All About Android, the Gizwiz. So that's attractive. Have you tried the Samsung Galaxy Gear and the Pebble?
So I've not tried either of those.
This is your first.
It was the Wim 1.
Oh, the Wim.
Of days past.
Which Google now owns.
And actually has some similarities with this, which I'll talk about in a second. That's kind of the wearable watch that I've used before. But I've been very kind of curious with the space, still trying to figure out if it's something that's necessarily for me on a personal level, because I'm just so out of the loop when it comes to wearing a watch on my wrist.
Right.
But this is the Sony Smartwatch 2. It's a follow-up to their smartwatch from last year.
That would be the Smartwatch 1.
Yes. There we go. I'm happy I set that one up for you. And it's $50 more this time around. It's $199.99, and I'll take it off so that it actually has a better look to it. And one thing I can say right off the top,
it doesn't have much of a better look is one thing right off the top.
You know, I actually thought from a design perspective, I think it's okay. I don't think
all
it's amazing. I don't think it's jaw dropping, but I think it's pretty decent.
Yeah.
So here's one thing that's actually kind of cool about this.
Oh, you got app icons.
So when I hit the button on the side, right, that kind of turns the screen on. This is a transflective screen, and that's how it's similar to the Wim 1 in that when I haven't used it for a while, this is going to kick off and it's going to go to a low power mode, essentially. You can see it dimming right now, right?
But you can still see it when it's in low power.
There's no backlight. So it's low power. So one of the things that is a big selling point with the Sony Smartwatch 2 is battery life. This got probably around 4 days of battery life per charge, which I don't know how that fares with the others, but I consider that pretty decent.
The only other long life watch is the Pebble, which does also get around a week.
And I think, that gets maybe a little bit more than the smartwatch. But
still nice.
I found 3 to 4 days to be totally
much
doable.
Much better than the Gear, which is
Can see on the side a micro USB port. Of course, it has so it's not a proprietary charge port. Of course, it's very hard to get open. Because it's got this little cover on it.
It's in there somewhere.
It is, I promise. There we go.
Okay, so that's how you charge it.
Right. Yeah, that's how you charge it. And also the cover is kind of, the price you pay for it being water resistant up to 3 feet and up to a half an hour. So that's kind of nice. So you hit the button on the side, it kind of turns on the backlight, right? And then we can kind of go in here. Now, what you'll notice is that the interface looks a lot like Android, and it works with Android devices. It does not work with iOS.
Gmail. I see phone. Can you make a phone call from it?
You can trigger a phone call. So there is no camera, no speaker, no microphone in the watch. It's purely, I guess, a notification device that tethers to your phone. So I could, pull up my address book here and go through it if I wanted to, although on this tiny little screen, it can be kind of a pain. Or I can, take a look at my call log. Maybe that's not the best thing to look at. But yes, I could absolutely go in here and trigger a call that syncs up on my phone. And, if I'm wearing a headset at that particular moment, it'll make a call. So that's kind of neat. But you can see they really kind of tailored this around the look and feel of Android, but it's not running Android. So you have this like notification pull down, but
so that's an email that you received.
Yep.
You can't respond to it there, though. There's some tweets that were about you.
You can do things like archive. It really depends on what the app does. And that's one of the downsides, I think. There's up to 300, I think Sony says, apps designed for smartwatch 1 that also work for 2, as well as some that are now tailor-made, I think up to 50 that are tailor-made for 2. And they range in usefulness, right? If I go into Facebook and I see this little message from my friend Joe and I click on it, this is what I get.
You can read it anyway.
No, all it says is the name.
You can't read it.
Joe. And yes, it's tiny. And
the message isn't there.
Yes, there's nothing there. So, you know, and this is a Sony-made app for the watch. So, I don't know. It really kind of takes some of the utility away from a watch. My experience with this was largely of frustration.
Yeah.
Because the more I used it, the more I kind of realized what a watch attempts to do, which is to make it so that you don't have to pull your phone out of your pocket and you have all the important information at your wrist. Unfortunately, so many times with this watch, anything that you actually would want to do with the information that it presents to you requires your phone. So now it's taking you even longer because instead of reaching for your phone to begin with, you've checked your watch, you're reaching for your phone eventually anyways.
Right.
So many of the things that you would want to use the phone for just kind of became pretty inconvenient as a result. Setup and operation. Setup was a little clunky to get started. They have this app on the phone, which I'll show you real quick, called Smart Connect. And it's not a bad app. When I hop into here, basically, this is how you search for applications, right? You go into their search, you find, I don't know, custom clocks, do search, and then it pops you into the Play Store to kind of show you all of them that come up. And then I could, you know, opt on installing this directly, and that'll sync to the
Seems watch. Like a fairly big ecosystem. And I guess that's the advantage of having it. Been around for longer than almost anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. And they have all the apps that were created for Smartwatch 1 in there already, so it looks like there's a lot. It's just a lot of the apps were very hit or miss as far as kind of actual usability and functionality. It has NFC, so it can pair with your phone through NFC, the initial pairing, and then all the communications done through Bluetooth. So that's kind of nifty.
It has to be an Android phone?
It has to be an Android phone. It does not work with iOS. No
version
iOS support.
Of
it has a 4.0 and above.
Okay.
Yeah. It has vibration inside the watch, which was kind of nice with notification. Obviously, if you're getting a ton of notifications, your wrist is going to be vibrating like crazy. I found refresh times for notifications to be very iffy. Even if I set it to check at a certain interval, a lot of times I just wouldn't get a notification, and then eventually it would kind of come through. And even if it did, what can I do with it now? Nothing. I just know that it's there, and now I have to go to my phone to do anything else with it.
You're describing, by the way, pretty much every smartwatch yet.
Yeah, I think what I've realized
all
through this,
about the same.
I would love to use more to see if my view on it, you know, is the same, is that I think what people want out of a smartwatch is very different from what's possible out of a smartwatch. People want a smartwatch to be very useful from here's the information that, you know, I would otherwise see on my phone and now I have it on my wrist. But then your inclination is to then act on that and to do something with that. The problem is smartwatches are very small. Very small screen. There's only so much that you can do in this tiny little screen real estate to be very useful in that regard, and you're going to have to pull out your phone anyways. So I don't know if our smartwatches are ever going to be exactly what people want.
And to get decent battery life and to keep the size reasonable, you can't. It's hard to put speaker, microphone, touch screen that you can actually, you know, type into. All of that stuff's difficult in a watch, and I think this is the challenge of this particular form factor that nobody seems to have licked.
Absolutely. Someone may come along and really, really tackle
we'll
it. And
I see what Apple does.
And there are elements of the smartwatch that I do like. I think the design, you know, it actually fits your standard 24-millimeter watch bands. So
good, because that's an ugly-ass band.
Yeah, this is the one that kind of comes
it's
with
like
it. They have different colored ones.
These all have these. So does it have any health things, like a pedometer? Can it measure your heart rate?
Yes, there are some
health.
No, it doesn't measure your heart rate.
But it does measure your footsteps.
But it does have the capability of syncing to some apps that are around fitness. But, you know, I didn't check for something that actually measured footsteps, and I doubt...
Something actually useful.
I doubt off the top of my head that the watch has that built in.
Right.
It would probably be detected through your phone and then transmitted to your watch, which...
And your phone often does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So pros and cons.
All right, pros. I'd say the design was probably one of the pros in this regard. I think it looks okay.
You're very generous,
Jason. I'm being generous. But, you know, honestly, when it's on your wrist...
They all look kind of geeky.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
geek jewelry.
They're all big, but I don't think it looks horrible. The Galaxy Gear, from what I've seen on wrists, looks god-awful. So This is kind of a step up, I think, from that. Let's see here. Transflective display is very cool. Kind of that low power, always on display. Very nice. And the battery performance I thought was great. The cons, clunky setup, and the UI just has some real issues and kind of, you know, jaggedness throughout. The notifications aren't very useful all the time. What can you really do with them? App integration has a lot to be desired. And I didn't even mention the screen resolution is 220 by 176, which is about 176 points, pixels per inch. And you kind of see it, you know, up close and personal when you're really looking at it. And I don't know. It just.
Now, I see a music app on there. Can you plug in headphones and listen to music?
No. No. Okay. So basically,
I'm really trying here.
It's a control. It controls the music app on your
phone.
Pause,
play, rewind.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. Next, so if you've got it synced to play music, you can hit play on a track or skip forward or back or whatever, and it'll navigate from your phone.
So I'm guessing. Well, I'm not going to guess.
Oh, total buy.
No.
I would say don't buy. I think, you know, there are some good things here, but $200 is a lot to spend on kind of an extension of your notification tray on your device.
I feel like everybody's trying to solve this and nobody has yet.
Totally. I completely agree.
Yeah. That's the Sony Smartwatch 2.
That's
their second in a continuing series. Jason Howell produces all about Android. This TNT, he's hosts All About Android, produces TNT and the Gizwiz. And tonight's All About Android night. Aaron Newcomb will join you.
Aaron Newcomb, Eric Ravenscraft of Lifehacker will be on, and Ron Richards and myself, of course.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Appreciate your review.
You bet.
As always, we send the cute little cameras to
look
Tony, because he's a good photographer. This is a new one from Pentax. Let's see what Tony Wang thinks of the Pentax Q7.
I'm Tony for Twit, and before you buy, and today I'm reviewing the Pentax Q7 mirrorless camera system. The Pentax Q7 is a third generation Q lens system from Pentax. Why is it called 7? My guess is that it's 7 ounces, which is about only 200 grams. As you can see here, I have the model with the standard kit lens that goes from 5 to 15 millimeter. Because the sensor is only 1/1.7th of an inch, the multiplier rate for the millimeter count is actually about 4.7. So this is about the equivalent of a regular lens kit that you would get on a DSLR or other mirrorless system. So what really sets this system apart is this tiny, tiny form factor. And as I mentioned before, it's only 7 ounces, and you get a backside illuminated CMOS sensor that's only 12 megapixel, but it's very good in low light for the price range because it's got built-in image stabilization on the sensor itself. And on the front of the camera, you'll see there's a function dial on the left, and you can actually choose your own setting if you like, or the default or image filters. What I really like about this camera is that it shoots RAW, which is pretty rare for a camera this size. And with JPEG, you can actually shoot really, really fast burst modes. And just like all the other cameras out there, it takes SD card and also actually have Wi-Fi support built in. So this thing could potentially have Wi-Fi. Now, the only thing that's missing in this camera that I could think of is GPS. So if that's something that you really need, this is not the camera for you. I really wouldn't compare this to a high-end DSLR. This is more of a high-end point-and-shoot, but you have the flexibility of changing the lens if you need to. And this Q range actually has a plethora of lenses since it's been around for a while, a few years now. This is the third generation. So, and with an adapter, you can actually mount your Pentax K lenses on here as well. Just like all the other rangefinder mirrorless camera out there, you have a 3-inch display on the back for composing your photos. It is not touchscreen, which is a shame. The camera actually is outfitted with a pop-up flash that actually works pretty well, and it actually pops high enough so that your lenses don't cast a shadow in your photos. You can find the Q7 at a price range of about $400 street price, which is pretty good considering the competition of this camera, which is a point-and-shoot category, actually goes higher than that price range. So pro of this camera, obviously the biggest pros is the size, which is tiny. Another pro is the image quality. It's actually very impressive going up to 4,000, even 6,400 ISO. And you can see there's actually a Hashu mount on here. So if you want to mount an external flash, you can do it. No cameras without fault. And the Q7 is no exception. Images do tend to get really noisy at maximum ISO if you're shooting in low light conditions. Also, the display on the back is not a touchscreen, so you do lose a bit of convenience factor of being able to touch the screen to change settings. Buy, try, or don't buy, I'm gonna give the Q7 a buy. It's really hard to come by such a functional and performance-oriented camera at this price range and size. I'm Tony for Twitter Before You Buy, and this is the Pentax Q7.
It's so little. I mean, it really does look that little. Tony Wang, our editor-in-chief. Thank you, Tony. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to take a look at the new Lenovo Yoga, a security camera, home monitoring kit from Diamond, and I have a Nokia 2520, and if we can get Radford's Windows update to complete, we'll take a look at another all-in-one PC from, I think this time from Dell. But first, let's talk a little bit about Shutterstock.com. If you use stock photos, footage, vectors, illustrations in your business, maybe for PowerPoints or keynotes, or maybe you make videos, maybe you've got a restaurant and you want a just attractive image on your menus, you got to know about Shutterstock.com, a great place. In fact, the last time I checked, 31 million stock photos, images, vectors, Rogers and Rogers. No, that's something. Illustrations and video clips. Click the footage tab at the top to see new footage, by the way. I think sometimes people forget that. 31 million images. 189,000 images added this week alone. And Shutterstock reviews each and every one individually for content and quality before adding it to its library. Many from professional photographers and artists, they really look good. But none of that would be any good without a great search engine, and that's where Shutterstock shines. Say that. Shutterstock shines. Three times fast. Shutterstock shines. Try typing in a noun plus an adjective. A cranky hippo, for instance. And you'll find an amazing variety of images to match your search. You can even search by color. I think it's two words, Mr. Hippo. We've done this before. I think there are no cranky hippos, but there are happy hippos. There just aren't any cranky ones. If you were a hippo, okay, there's a regular hippo. Okay, now add happy, and we'll narrow it down. You can have happy blue hippos because they have those are only happy hippos. Hey, I'm a happy hippo. Hey, happy birthday, hippo. Shutterstock is kind of amazing. I think with 31 million images, there's nothing they don't have except cranky hippos, which is the one thing they just really... Maybe they don't exist. There's only one. Yeah. You know, we should take a picture of you and upload it to Shutterstock so that when we search for a cranky hippo, we find Brian. You can use their color tool to make sure it matches the palette you're looking for. Now, here's what I'd love you to do. Create a free account there. You don't need to give them a credit card. Just set up an account. That way you can save images to their light boxes for free. Those images can be used for inspiration to share with a colleague. I love the footage. It's just so much fun. Do they have hippo movies? Oh, of course they do. Let's see a hippo in action. Here's a beautiful hippo. Look, the hippo wallowing in its river. Oh, no, he's spotted me. Quick, run! I want you to visit Shutterstock.com, set up that light box, get the, by the way, the iPad app is gorgeous, Webby Award winner. And if you decide to buy, all I ask is that you use our offer code before you buy 1213, and you'll get 25% off any package. They have multilingual customer support, more than a dozen countries, full-time customer support throughout the week. They really are great. No credit card needed. Just set up your account at Shutterstock.com. But when you do decide to purchase, please use Before You Buy 1213. Before You Buy 1213 for 25% off any package. We have the 25 image a day subscription. Very useful for publications and so forth. Shutterstock.com. We thank them for their support. Shannon Moore Snubs is here. She's our producer and is also going to be the host of the new Coding 101 with this guy over Woo-hoo! Here, Father Robert Ballister. Can't wait to see that. First beta episode's coming up soon, I know. And you have a Lenovo. Now, actually, I'm really interested in this because this has been a very popular category, the yoga tablets for Lenovo.
So Ashton Kutcher loves these things.
He's paid to love them.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not disillusioning you when I tell you that.
So they had this huge spiel. They have a bunch of commercials about Ashton Kutcher, who helped design these probably.
Oh, he helped design them.
Yeah. Interestingly wow. enough. So these are the brand new Lenovo yoga tablets, 8 and 10.
There so there's go. Two different sizes.
Yes. And they are basically exactly the same.
Are these Android devices? It looks like they are.
They're Android 4.2.2. They're Jelly Bean.
And the reason I asked, Lenovo also, of course, sells Windows devices, but this is their Android Jelly Bean.
And they are available in 16 gigabyte or 32 gigabyte versions. The smaller one is very small. It's very cute and teeny tiny. It's only 8 inches, so it's very tiny. And it weighs less than a pound. It's 0.88 pounds, and it's only 0.12 inches thick. So if I turn this on its side, you'll see there's this stand right here, which I'll get to, and it's very, very thin. Really nice, very compact. The back of it has this nice, well, it feels, sounds almost like a DJ pad, but it's basically, it keeps you from
textured.
Getting fingerprints. Yeah, it's very textured. It's made out of plastic. So it's, you can definitely tell that it's a well-priced product. As far as the price goes, the smaller version is $250. You can get it for $250 if you have a coupon on Lenovo. $269 retail for the 16 gig or $299 retail for the 32 gig version.
This is of the 8.
Yes. The 10-inch version is $319 retail for the 16 gig version or $339 retail for the 32 gig version.
These are aggressively priced.
They are. They're definitely aggressively priced. I thought the prices were, you know, very well priced. Right. Well ranged.
The only people that beat them are Google, pretty much. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the things that they're touting about this is obviously the stand. It's like a little kickstand. Very cool, and it's intuitive. It's a feature that I actually really enjoyed in testing these because it comes in handy so often. And usually, you only get this nice stand if you actually have a case or a keyboard folio pad or something like that for your tablet. These have it automatically included. It's a little stand that you can take and put your fingers right here, and it just presses in like that. And then you fold it out just by pressing in and pushing or pulling on it, and then you can set it up like a stand.
Now, if you didn't want a stand, you're going to be carrying around this lump all the time, unfortunately.
You can set it down like
that. That's nice, yeah.
And you can use it just as a regular tablet. Now, the thing about using it as a tablet, if you set it down, obviously, you know, it's just going to sit like this. I found that it's very nice to be able to hold it.
Oh, okay.
So it gives you a nice little grip. So it doesn't feel like, you know, you have to put your fingers right against the back. You have a nice little grip for your fingers. And that's actually pretty useful for it. I preferred that over having to hold my tablet just like a regular tablet. Now, the sound quality on these are both very clear. I took a couple of videos for you.
Well, it's a very customized UI, isn't it?
It is. It's very customized. Yeah, Lenovo completely revamped the UI on this guy.
But I presume you could put a third-party launcher on it and make
it
look
definitely.
Like
so I took
nice
a few
picture.
Pictures.
That's very flattering.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. So both of these have the same type of camera. There's a front and rear facing camera. The front one is 1.6 megapixels. It's an HD. And then the 5 megapixel rear camera. The sound quality, I'll hold this up to my microphone so you can actually hear it. I played a couple of videos. And let me turn up the sound.
Boy, Miley Cyrus has never sounded better. I like that, yeah.
Yeah, I sound great, don't I? So both of the speakers are on the front, which is also a very nice addition instead of being on the back. So it doesn't get muffled whenever you're playing videos. The camera is just okay. It's pretty average for this price range. Now, the thing that I did not like about both of these is the resolution. The resolution on these are 1280 by 800 for each of them. So the larger 10-inch version, you don't get a better resolution on it.
It's very low res.
Very low res. They're both IPS screens, so they do have really good viewing angles, but you can really see the pixels on this guy. And that's a highly unfortunate problem with this product.
Yeah, especially if you're competing against the Google Nexus tablets, which are very, very high res and lower priced.
Yeah. And you'll notice that, too, whenever you're reading text or you're looking at pictures or things like that. You're definitely going to notice a difference if you go from a Google tablet to one of these guys. So it's definitely a giant con for me. So I'll get into my pros and cons. The pros on these, very thin, very sturdy feeling. They have a long-lasting battery. The battery is also a big pro to these. You can get up to 18 hours on these. And that's with web browsing.
Just on that alone, no extra battery. Wow.
So this one's a 6,000 mAh. The larger one is a 9,000. They get the same amount of battery.
Very
the difference
impressive.
Is just for the differences in sizing. It's a very impressive battery. And if you're playing lots of games on it and things like that, you could get around 10 hours, 10 to 12, if you're doing really, really heavy duty stuff on it. So that's a definite plus for me. And very clear, very loud sound. I really like the front-facing speakers. On the con side, low screen resolution. Definitely a huge con. And I also noticed something strange about this. Whenever you press this down or bring it back up, down here along the corner, you can see a little bit of LCD phase shifting. So you can see a pressure difference whenever you move this tablet in and out. Very hard to see on the camera screen, but there's a definite change on the LCD screen right along here where there's a pressure difference whenever you're clicking on the tablet stand. Yeah, you can't really see it in the camera frame, but trust me, it's there. Here, I'll show you, Padre.
I know, I see it. I see it all the time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Ooh.
So because of that little problem, which may become an issue in the future, and because of the resolution, there are other options that are available right now in this tablet market, in this category. So I would have to give these a don't buy.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really hoping. This is the first generation of this yoga tablet. So I'm really hoping on the next generation that they create, and I really hope they do. I would love to see a higher resolution version of this because I think that it would be a really good seller.
$249 for the base 8-inch model compared to $229, and in fact, some cases less, for the Nexus 7. So it's more expensive,
yes,
but gives you less than the Nexus 7. I think it's
good battery, really cool tablet stand.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Did you do the pros and cons, or do you want to do that
again? I did.
Okay. So a buy, don't buy, try?
I would give these a don't buy.
Yeah. I have to think. If they could only get a little bit less expensive or a better screen.
Yes,
it seems like the screen is
screen
the real disadvantage there. Thank you, Shannon Moore. Snubs, our producer. Love having you on the show.
Thank you.
Robert Ballasaire is here. Apparently, there has been an outbreak, a rash of people stealing
stuff.
So he's got a security system to protect us. Hey, Robert, it's good to see you.
Thank you. Great to have
you. Host of This Week in Enterprise Tech. This is the PlugView Home Monitoring Kit. Let's take a look.
The HP 500CK Plug-in View is a network camera by Diamond Multimedia, designed to offer mid-range security features at an affordable price. The Plug-in View uses the Powerline Communication Standard for connectivity. That means that it uses the power lines in your house as Ethernet cables. The kit includes the camera and a PLC adapter. To install the kit, you simply connect your network to the PLC adapter, plug the adapter into a power socket, and power up the camera. That's it. The two units will automatically sync and create an encrypted connection between themselves. The PLC adapter can support an additional 7 cameras, and all units can be combined into the same encrypted network using the group button on each device. The camera itself features 2 sets of hang points, a standard threaded camera mount, and rubber feet. The camera ball can be tilted 75 and panned 270 degrees. Diamond ring the camera with 12 high-intensity infrared LEDs to allow the camera to see in complete darkness up to 16 feet away. As for the video quality, well, it's wanting. Diamond used a 640x40 sensor that maxes out at 12 frames per second. Definitely not high definition, though for an inexpensive security camera, it might just be enough. The Plug-in View can be accessed from any Android, iOS, Mac, or PC device. The mobile device interface is actually quite well designed. The setup entails scanning the QR code on the bottom of the device to automatically transfer all details about that camera to the app. There's also manual entry of the camera info, but as it would require entry of tediously long strings of data, I suggest using the QR. Where the Plug-in View becomes really useful is when it's used with a Mac or PC client. The PlugCam software gives you a grid view of all your cameras and allows you to set up automatic snapshots and video recordings. You can also change camera resolution, adjust for indoor or outdoor use, change passwords, and set motion triggers that will automatically record video, sound alarms, and send email warnings when something or someone has wandered into your security zone. An important note about the Plug-in View is that since it uses power line communications, you must have both the PLC adapter and your camera on the same electrical circuit. That means it won't work past her breaker box, through a line conditioner, or through a surge-protecting power strip. However, that also means that a neighbor won't accidentally get footage from inside your house. The Diamond Multimedia HP500CK is available now. You can find it online for about $80.
Thank you, Robert Ballister. So, Robert, I guess the good news is HomePlug works. Yes?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, the nice thing is that it's HomePlug, so it will work in places where wireless doesn't work, where you don't have Ethernet cables.
All you have to do is plug it into the wall.
Just plug it into the wall.
No Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi needed. It's crazy easy to set up. This is something I can send to my parents, and they'd have it up and running in just a couple of seconds on their tablets, on their phones, on their computers.
The bad news is the picture quality sucks.
It's horrible, horrible picture quality. But then again, you're only paying $80.
$80.
So for that price, it's not bad. Hmm?
And it makes it really easy for your neighbors to see what you're up to by hacking into your system.
So. No. Because it's HomePlug,
it's not wireless, it's more secure, right?
A tiny bit more secure. I mean, HomePlug itself doesn't have super strong encryption, but it doesn't bleed like Wi-Fi does.
Right.
So with all of the things that it offers, even with the bad resolution, I'd say it's a try.
Thank you, Robert Ballester, the digital Jesuit. He joins us every Monday for This Week in Enterprise Tech, and he's working on a couple of new shows, Coding 101. That'll be coming soon to a twit near you. Now, before we take a look at this all-in-one from Dell and this little svelte beauty from Nokia, let's talk a little bit about Stamps.com. The holidays are here, the worst time to go to the post office. There's traffic, there's parking, and there's a lot of amateurs there. And if you do mailing for a living, if you're a professional, you don't want to have to take that time. What you want to do is do everything you do at the post office from your office with Stamps.com. You don't have to get up from your desk. You can buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer, your own printer. You could print right on an envelope. Look how good that looks. Much better than putting a stamp on there. It prints right on the envelope. It even takes the return address from your address book. Your logo, your company logo can be on there. It is so easy to use. You can also, print it on any package, print labels for packages. And with that great USB scale, you're never guessing how much postage you need. You always know exactly the right amount. Even when the postage rates change, Stamps.com knows automatically. And then your mail carrier comes and gets it. Let him deal with the traffic. No, let him come to you with Stamps.com. They even got a button at Stamps.com you press in the mail. It says, bring me a mail carrier, and they will come out and pick up your package. Stamps.com also saves you money. Discounts you can't get at the post office on Priority Mail and Priority Mail Express. I love Stamps.com, and I particularly think it's valuable for anybody who does mailing for a living. If you sell on Etsy or eBay, oh, man, this turns you into a fulfillment house. Now, go to Stamps.com. Before you take that $80 value, I want you to click the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and mention before you buy. Just type in the word before you buy, all one word, into that form there. Press go, and then you're going to get a $110 bonus value. $55 in free postage, coupons you can use over the first few months of your account, a free digital scale, a $5 supply kit, and, of course, a four-week trial of Stamps. I love Stamps.com. I know you will, too. Visit Stamps.com. Click the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use our offer code before you buy Stamps.com. Mr. Radford Castro is here, our Director of Engineering, protecting our security on our shores and off. And we gave you a big all-in-one to do a little while ago.
Yes.
This is kind of a little baby all-in-one. What is this?
So this one is the little baby. We had the older brother. That was the 27-inch Asus AIO. This is the 23-inch 2350 Inspiron from Dell.
Now, Dell does make 27s, but the Inspiron line is kind of their budget line, right?
Yes. Yeah. They also have a 27-inch also, but this is the 23-inch line.
Okay.
And it's touch-based. And
this might be good for a student or in the kitchen or somewhere like that.
And this actually is, this is the top of the line one. This is running an i7.
Oh, it's fast.
Yeah, so it's really fast. It even has an AMD Radeon chip in it, so. And it's.
That's the GPU.
Yes.
And so because it's a touch screen, GPU is important, isn't it? You want to be able to. You don't want it lag when you touch the screen.
There's no lag on it. So, I mean, much of what we've seen before in the past with AIOs, I'm just going to get right into it. What you want to know is probably the resolution. And from here on out.
It doesn't look great, I'm saying. Yeah. Is it a good resolution?
This is actually 1920 by 1080.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so it's full HD.
It's just blurry pictures. You got to get better pictures.
We're just used to the laptops now that are in
super
crisp. Retina.
Yeah,
right.
Same resolution at half the size.
Right, right.
So this is 23 inches.
Right, so I'm just going to demo a little bit just on the resolution alone. I'm going to play a trailer here.
Let's watch the Elysium trailer.
Elysium.
Good movie.
Yeah. So it's a little bit blurry, obviously. It's going to try to bring in the bits, but... let me turn up the volume, probably, so you could actually get a demo what this sounds like just as well as what it looks like.
It looks like these are speakers. Are these speakers? Yes. Where are the speakers? At the bottom?
Yeah, right in the bottom. This is one of the negatives I didn't like about.
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to push out all of this stuff out of these little speakers right here.
Right.
And all the components are here. So.
So the whole computer, is it just in this little flat stand part?
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting.
And then the arm here, you know, it's pretty sturdy for what it is, but it's kind of hefty even for this type of form factor. But let me just pause this for a little bit. So over here on the bottom part, on the base, you actually have a couple of USBs. Let me actually make it easy for us. I have some pictures here where I took a picture.
Okay.
I took some side stuff. So here's what it looks
like
on the side. And this is what it looks like. That's my side.
That's what your side looks like?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. All
this
right.
Is the back.
So I see it looks like two HDMI ports.
Right. So you have actually an
in and out.
Yes. Yeah.
So this is a pass-through device?
No. So it's almost confusing because of the way they're positioned.
Yeah.
But this is actually HDMI in if you want to extend your monitors from another PC. HDMI out if you want to push towards a TV.
Got it. So this could be a monitor by itself.
Yes.
Or a second monitor for a computer.
Or if you want to push out to a...
display stuff. That's cool. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of confusing because when you see them side by side.
You know what? It looks like they're aiming this at the student market where this would be a home entertainment system in a dorm room, for instance.
Yes.
Right?
And it has enough power to do that. So you could actually, you know, do some gaming and do, you know, your normal
and your
work
school
that you
work and all that. Yeah.
But the big thing you want to know is, you know, how does it perform in real world stuff? So, of course, as I usually do, I like playing around with games. This is just some resolution. So here's some pictures.
These are good looking pictures. Yeah. You didn't take them with this, though.
No,
you didn't carry this around to the cafe.
No, I actually had an SLR. I was using.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actually using a Canon.
I think this looks pretty good, actually. That's a very nice screen.
Mm-hmm. So this was
all right.
Yeah, so it's a pretty nice screen. I mean, it has some really good resolution and even the speed from when you're zooming in stuff. It's pretty nice too. If I get to do that, so yeah, it's pretty cool.
Having built-in dedicated GPU makes a big difference.
It makes a huge
respect,
difference. Yeah, so, I mean, another evidence of that is when you start looking at games and stuff. So let's see if I have it there. There it is. And this is already running in the background, so that's really good.
Yeah.
And I'll just resume from this point out, and you can just see, just from the way it intros into the launch of the race.
Instant.
It's instant.
Is it a solid-state drive in here?
No, it's actually a regular hard drive.
A laptop hard drive, it must be,
But it has... This is pretty darn loud. Let me see if I can pause this thing. Sorry.
I would say, even though it has these built-in speakers, you're probably going to want to add external speakers, as you would to many of
a
computer.
And it has a headphone jack for that, so you can put in that stuff. But I mean, just the speed alone is pretty.
Wow, this is nice.
Yeah, it's clean.
So you could give this to a kid and say, "Hey, you can game on this, but I want you to do your homework on it." This could even be your TV, really. I mean, because you've got HDMI in, you could hook up an Xbox to it, making your Xbox TV.
Yes.
There's a lot you could do with this.
Yes.
That's interesting.
So remember when we did the review the other time, it was you had some tilt forms. So one of the big selling points I liked about this is the fact that you could lay it flat.
Wow.
Like that. All the way flat.
Now we could play air hockey.
Yeah. But here's the app I really wanted to demonstrate that really makes use of this kind of like positioning. And that is this Crayon one, which is perfect for my kid and I, since we play around with pictures and things like that, and we want to.
This is turning it into a surface, in effect.
Yeah. So you can. Here's some photos that I messed around with. Where I just placed my kid around here, and then you could even like, you know, start using different types of tools to just start writing and start, you know, doodling. If I freaking know how to do this right.
This is a very. I like how flexible this is.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting to hear the price because, especially as configured, this is not a cheap computer.
So this, the price at this trim is
with 13, i7 and
with
the GPU.
With i7, the GPU, and 1 terabyte, which I think they all come with.
Terabyte of, how much RAM?
About
storage?
12.
12 gigs?
Oh, 12 gigabytes, yeah.
Of RAM?
Yes.
And how much?
At $13.99. Well,
that's very good.
Yeah.
And I presume that you get an i5 with less RAM, smaller hard drive.
So they go, the trims go like this. It goes i3, i5, and then this.
Right.
And then...
This would be a really good desktop for a student. In high school, you could put it in the bedroom. In college, you could put it in the dorm room.
Yes.
I'm I'm pretty impressed. $1,399 is a very good price. Remember, this has an i7 and a dedicated ATI graphics processor. Mm-hmm. That is a pretty impressive thing. I like the stand. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get the pros and cons here.
So the pros, I'm going to get right to, because I just can't remember stuff.
Yeah, write it down. That's always my
Always. So the pros is the fact that it is. Actually, I didn't write it down, so I'm just going to try to remember
the pros. I can tell you. You like the screen.
I like the
screen.
You
like the stand. It's fast.
Yes. Now, and the cons is the sound is
crappy speakers.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's another weird thing. This is the weird thing. Try to powering up the mouse. Look at this. You actually have to open it up.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. It's a little weird thing.
Okay.
But other than that, it comes
with Dell keyboard. This is a Dell keyboard and mouse.
Right. It's a no-frills keyboard and mouse, but it works well. And, thanks. It is a good performer.
I got it right. Clean design, good performer. Design. Beautiful display, nice positions.
Nice positions.
Crappy speakers, loud and fan. Mention that.
Yeah. So it is pretty loud once you start doing games.
See, I don't hear anything right now.
Yeah, but when you actually run it or when you're doing high resolution video, you definitely are going to hear it.
So. Yeah. And, of course, it's not a laptop. It's a desktop, so you got to plug it in.
Yes.
But that is, I think, for the price, the Dell Inspiron. What model is this?
This is the 2530.
2530.
2350.
2350. This is an all-in-one.
Yes.
Buy, try, don't buy.
I wish I could say tempting, but I have to give it a try.
I'm going to say buy it. I think that's a great price. And I don't know of anything in this category that really.
Yeah, it is. It's very.
How are we feeling? We buy a lot of Dell gear, and you're kind of on the front line of supporting all that stuff. How are we feeling about Dell these days?
Dell's actually pretty good now. Ever since they went private, they're starting to really concentrate on putting out products that really matter.
Okay.
And looking at this, just the form factor alone is very tempting to have. I'm just saying try it now because I don't have the pocket money off of my back.
If you have $1,300,
you have 13 sticking around, it's definitely a buy.
Right. It is not cheap, but very impressive. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Radford Castro. He's our engineering director at TWiT. And, I have to say, I really liked the Dell XPS 1 when we reviewed it a year ago. I reviewed it. Mm-hmm. Now that Windows 8 came out, I think they've got a touch version of that. And this is a touch screen.
Yes.
And at $1,399, I think it comes with Windows 8 1 Pro.
It comes with 8, but, of course, 8 1 is
free. It's an easy free up.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Very good. The Dell Inspiron All-in-One 23-incher. I am a little bit smaller screen. I was very intrigued by this. Microsoft has created several different versions of Windows. There's Windows Pro, which is what this is. And then there's Windows 8.1. They call it RT.
Right.
And the Surface RT was the first device. A couple of companies like Dell and Lenovo made RT devices and then backed out of the business pretty quickly. Right now, there's only two companies making Windows RT devices. There's Microsoft, the Surface 2, and there's this. This is the Nokia 2520, and I have to say, let me type in my PIN number here. Let me just say, this is a gorgeous-looking system. You want it to be brighter? Well, I don't know how to do that. It's Windows. It's too confusing for me. All right, well, let me see if I can turn up the screen brightness just a little bit for you. How about that? I know we're getting a lot of glare. That look good? All right. So, yes, this is a touch screen tablet. If you've looked at the Surface 2, I think you'll agree, while this is actually technically not a lot thinner, it feels thinner because of the Lumia styling. This is very much like Nokia's other Lumia phones with the polycarbonate backs and the curved styling. I like the styling on this, and I think they've done a good job. It has a micro USB connector, USB 3. That's the new USB 3 connector, as well as micro HDMI. Charges, though, with proprietary charging. I really hate seeing that, but it does require a Nokia charger to charge the battery. Good news is you're not going to be doing it very often. 11 hours battery life. It is snappy. In fact, it is benchmark-wise about 50% faster than the competing Surface 2. There's quad-core Snapdragon 800s in here, which is a very fast processor. Now, remember, this is RT, so it will not run older Windows software. It will only run the the tiled Metro software that you're used to. I also like a very nice 1080p screen. Some other things that Nokia does very well on their phones, of course, is the camera. And this is a decent camera. 6-plus megapixels, Zeiss optics, and it has the Nokia software on it. I think they have some of the best camera software out there. And I really like what Nokia has done with their cameras for their phones. You'll get some of the benefits of that in this. The other thing, of course, it's a big selling point for Windows RT. It comes with desktop, but only Only one company gets to make desktop apps, right. And that's Microsoft. It does come with Microsoft Office. That's part of the price, including Outlook. So for a student, this is a great choice. It is a full version of Windows 8.1 RT with Microsoft Office, the full application set that Nokia does so well with, including the Nokia camera, which I think is just excellent.
Resolution
it's a 1080p display, so it's a very good looking, as with the Surface 2. It's exactly the same as the Surface 2. That's one thing that Microsoft has improved considerably.
Quad, so it's
quad-core 800, very fast.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the Surface 2 runs, but I think it's a Qualcomm chip as well, but I'm not sure. No, it's Tegra 4. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
So that's the difference. You're getting a Qualcomm chip with this and a Tegra with the Surface 2. Now, price, $499 for the 16-gig version. Don't think of storage on these devices because you're mostly working out of the cloud. And here's an interesting little... This could be a pro or con. It doesn't yet have the keyboard. When it gets the keyboard, it'll be a battery keyboard, which means you get another 3 to 5 hours of battery life. This will be the longest battery life tablet out there with the keyboard.
Is that going to be the keyboard that's like a folio
type?
It's
like a touch keyboard that goes over and just very much like the Microsoft Surface keyboard. The bad news is it's not available yet. The good news is you can get it for free. I think they've extended that offer. It was through December 2nd. If you buy this for $499, you get the $149 keyboard for free when it ships. Who knows when that's going to be?
So like day one bonus sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of like a day one bonus. I have to say, I'm very impressed with this. I do feel like Surface RT is Windows the way Microsoft wants you to enjoy it. I was having a few little crashing problems on some of the standard apps. This app seems to have been frozen up. This is the content app.
What about the app performance? What's that like?
It's very snappy. This is a fast machine, and that's one thing that I think you'll really like. Remember, though, you're only going to be able to run... See, this app is driving me crazy. Right. Let's get rid of it. Go away. Go away, app. Let's show the weather app instead.
That's pretty nice.
I feel like the application performance is pretty snappy. I'm having a little trouble with this machine. I rebooted it right before the show, and you see I've been having these forced crashes. I'm not sure why that is. But you can see the apps that aren't from Microsoft seem to be running just fine. I don't know.
Maybe it's connectivity issues.
It could be connectivity. You know, I'm not going to judge it on that. Right. This has not been a problem earlier. I've been using this without these problems earlier. So, pros and cons. Pros are great display, great form factor. I think it looks really good. Nice front-facing camera if you're using Skype, and an even better 6.1 megapixel Zeiss lens on the back. Now, I don't encourage people to take pictures with their tablets, but if you're going to, this is a good camera. Notice also it has NFC built in, and it even tells you where the NFC chip is on a tablet this size. That's probably a good idea. AT&T and Verizon support LTE with this. You can buy it from either of them or from Microsoft and Nokia directly. LTE works very nicely on it. I do recommend if you're going to get it from AT&T or Verizon, doing that because it will save $100 on the total cost because they give you a subsidized price. It gets it down to $399.
Awesome.
$399, including the keyboard on AT&T and Verizon with LTE. Gorgeous screen. The only con is it's Windows RT, and it means it doesn't run older Windows applications. If that might be a deal breaker for you.
Right.
So it's hard for me to say try, buy, or don't buy on this because, in fact... if you know you want a Windows RT tablet, it's a definite buy. This, in my opinion, beats the Surface 2. On the other hand, it's hard for me to recommend Windows RT because it is a little bit of a different world. You're no longer going to be able to run those Windows 8 Pro apps and so forth. So that's the first decision. Am I going to buy RT? I think for a lot of people, RT, especially as a consumption device, is a good choice.
You think there's going to be more manufacturers jumping onto RT?
No. In fact, I think this is it. Because Nokia is about to be acquired by Microsoft,
right.
There will be one company. Mm-hmm. The question is whether this will survive the acquisition. If Microsoft asks me, I'm going to say kill Surface 2 and keep using the Nokia 2520. This is a great product, a definite buy, if you want to run Windows RT. Very nicely done. I was really excited about getting this. And the other thing is, right now, we only were able to get the black, but there are other colors. There's a beautiful red back. As you know, with Nokia, they like to do the designer colors. So you should check with your local carrier to see if they have the variety of colors that you want. Let me just show you real quickly, just to prove, because in the early days of RT, you couldn't watch Twit content, right? Is that right?
Right.
I think we can watch OMG Chad. Yep. And OMG Minecraft right now. Let's just press play and let's see. Can we watch the show? Mm-hmm. Yes, there he is, Chad, live in living color, moving, talking, walking. It looks great. The video is actually very good on this.
Awesome.
So I would say a buy if that's the market that you're in for a Surface or rather a Windows RT. Hey, that does it for this edition of Before You Buy. Radford, thank you for being
thank
here.
You.
Jason Howell, thank you. Shannon Morse, Father Robert Ballaser, and don't forget Tony Wang, our editor-in-chief for all of your reviews. We put these reviews up on our YouTube site, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. Each review individually so that you can share them with friends or people who are interested in buying maybe something like this. You can say, hey, you ought to see that review. But you can also get the whole show on YouTube and at our website, twit.tv/BYB. And, of course, wherever finer netcasts are aggregated, including iTunes and the Xbox Store. We do this show every Tuesday around about 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time. That's right about 2400 UTC. Tune in live if you can. We'd love it if you do. And if you have anything you'd like to see on Before You Buy, just email us, byb@twit.tv. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. Remember, you gotta watch Before You Buy. We'll see you next time.